If you'll get out your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 this morning. Philippians chapter 2, if you did not bring your Bible this morning, let me encourage you to look under a seat somewhere around you and find one of the Bibles that is provided for you and turn to page 980 where you will find Philippians chapter 2. So we're going to be Philippians chapter 2 beginning in verse 1. So follow along as I read again in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In these verses, Paul is calling for a unity within the body of believers that is centered around the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You could read verse 1 like this. So, since there is encouragement in Christ, since there is comfort from love, since there is participation in the Spirit, since there is affection and sympathy, it is because that we have these things in Christ, in our relationship with Christ, that we can and should live in unity with one another. But when we get to verse 3, Paul indicates that unity in the body calls for humility in the individual. Look again at verse 3 of Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. So as followers of Christ, we're not to be selfish or to pursue self-glorification, but we are to humble ourselves and put others before ourselves. And Paul's argument for this is to point to the example of humility that Christ demonstrated in his sacrifice for the sins of man. So let's look again at verses 5 through 8 as Paul reveals the depths of Christ's humility. In verse 5, he says, have this mind among yourselves. In other words, this is how you are supposed to be thinking, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. God the Son had all the rights and privileges of God because he was God. He had the right to be worshipped. He had the right to be served, to be glorified. He had the right to rule over all things, for he created all things. He spoke all things into existence and he sustained all things. He was the Creator. And so his person and his position afforded him all the rights and privileges of being God. However, there was a problem. Now, this problem was not in God himself, but the problem was found in his creation. Man turned away from God and he turned to himself. Now, think about this because it is important for us to understand this as we try to get the fullness of Christ's humility. The nerve of creation that would look at a creator and declare allegiance to themselves demonstrates a pride that is almost unimaginable lest it be true, and true even in our own lives. Man's sin is the greatest act of rebellion that has ever been committed. Think of the arrogance that is necessary for us, little specks of existence on this little speck of a planet, in this little speck of a solar system, in this little speck of a galaxy, in this little speck of space, that we would look to God and thumb our nose at Him. The magnitude of the arrogance of such an act is unfathomable. When you begin to think about your sin and what it really entails, then there is absolutely no reason for you to think anything other than what you really deserve is nothing less than the eternal torments of God's wrath in hell. The audacity of your sin toward a righteous Creator demands nothing less. And yet, contrary to what you fully deserve, God acted in accordance with His love. God made the decision not to cast us all into an eternal state of His wrath, but instead He decided, because of His love, to extend to you and to I grace. But His grace necessitated that His Son let go of His rights and privileges and come from heaven to earth. So God did not hold tightly to His throne in glory, but He let go and He condescended through the speck of space, into the speck of this galaxy, into the speck of our solar system, onto this speck of a planet, and He Himself became one of the specks of humanity. But He did not come to be served, Paul tells us, but He came to serve. The Son did not leave glory to come to be just a famous religious leader. He didn't just give up His rights as God to become the general of an earthly army. He did not embody Himself in human flesh as Jesus to become an earthly king. He came to be a servant. God the Son took on human flesh in order to serve the creation that has rebelled against Him. But Jesus' humbling of Himself did not end with His condescension from a place of divinity to a position of service. Jesus' act of humble service was extraordinary in its scope. Jesus humbled Himself by being obedient to the point of death. Man's sin, your sin, my sin required a sacrifice. Justice demanded that the wrath of God be poured out on the sin of man. Therefore, Jesus allowed Himself to be crucified on the cross by man so that He could be the sacrifice necessary for man, so forgiveness could be offered to man. Jesus left His throne. He came to serve man by becoming the only acceptable sacrifice for man. And we know this because Paul tells us in verse 9 that God highly exalted Him. He gave Him the position of honor and He gave Him the name that is above every name so that He would be given His rightful worship and rightful honor and rightful glory. This is the depth of the humility that should be evident in the lives of those who follow Christ, who say that they are His disciples. This past Friday was Veterans Day. It's a day that we honor those that serve in our armed forces. Right now in our armed forces, there are approximately 1,282,000 men and women in active duty, and there are another 801,000 on reserve. What that means is we have just over 2 million people in this country who have made the choice to voluntarily give their lives in service to you and to me. These men and women have humbled themselves, willingly put themselves in harm's way in order to defend the freedoms and the rights that you and I enjoy. And this year, our day to go and vote fell in the same week of Veterans Day, which should only highlight our understanding and our appreciation and awareness of the great privileges that we have because of these men and women who serve and have served in our armed forces. And anyone who truly understands the humble sacrifice of these men and women also are humbled by it. When Christians come to the Lord's table, we do so to reflect upon the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us on the cross. This morning, as we look to the cross, Paul in these verses points us to the humility that is demonstrated in this act. This is the attitude of humility that is to characterize those who have placed themselves under the lordship of Jesus Christ. The humility that is so evident in Christ leaving His throne to die for our sins should also be evident in the lives of His followers. And so this morning, in light of Christ's sacrifice, we should respond in two ways. Number one, we should humble ourselves before the Lord. Humility before God. When we remember that Jesus chose to leave heaven and come to earth to die so that we could have salvation, it should elicit in us a response of humble worship. It was our sin that necessitated Jesus' sacrifice. It was our pride that nailed Jesus to the cross. You cannot cling to your wants. You cannot cling to your wisdom. You cannot hold on to your desires and also hold on to the cross at the same time. There's absolutely no room for self at the foot of the cross. To look upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, to claim it for salvation and not deny or die to self, is to make a mockery of all that He did. Humility is the only right response to the one who humbled Himself to bear the wrath that you deserve. In Micah 6:8, it says this, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Humbleness and humility before God. But second, we should humble ourselves toward one another and pursue unity in the Lord. It's humility towards one another. This humility demonstrated by Christ should be evident in the lives of His followers as they live in unity with one another. That's you and me. That's when we come together. It's the body of Christ. It's the church. It's living in unity with one another. This unity is a distinctive mark of the body of Christ. Our unity, our working together, The closeness that we should have should separate us from any other group or organization. And you should be able to go to any church, those that claim to be disciples of Christ, and it should be a distinctive mark of that group, because they have humbled themselves in order to come together. So as we come to the Lord's table this morning and in the future, it should spur us to humble ourselves and to strive to be in unity with one another. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." See, the whole purpose of this passage in Philippians is to demonstrate the humility of Christ so that it serves as an example to follow within the body of Christ. How can we gaze at the cross and Christ's service to us and not follow His example of humility in our act of service towards one another? Our attitude towards those in this body should be one of humility. That means we lay aside self for the service of others. It's the second part of our mission statement, to disciple people to love others sacrificially. Loving others sacrificially begins with loving each other in the body. Then it expands from there and moves out into the community. But it begins with putting yourself aside and humbling yourself and saying, "I'm going to be like Christ. I'm going to follow that example. I'm going to love sacrificially within the community." But Christ is not just our example of community. He is also the source of our humility. This is what Paul is getting at in verse 5 when he says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." Notice Paul says, which is yours in Christ. That's present tense. It's something that you already possess. However, the qualifier is in Christ. You have it, you possess it only if you are in Christ. As a Christian, your mindset, your thinking, your attitude towards others should be humility, because this is who you are in Christ. When you give your life to Christ, you don't just get a new example to follow. There's not a new set of ideals, this list of things that you have to do. It's way more than that. You receive a full transformation of the heart. You get a new identity that empowers you to follow the example of Christ. And so humility should be the natural outflow of the work Christ accomplished in you through salvation. He freed you from the chains of pride, and He empowered you with a mind of humility. Paul says it is yours in Christ. All you need to live in unity with one another is already yours in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Faith in Jesus, who humbled Himself to die for your pride, is the only way you can humble yourself and serve others. It is not just saying, I know that Jesus is my example, and so I'm going to do everything that I can to follow that example. It is understanding that if you are a follower of Christ, if you have submitted yourself to Christ, then everything you need in order to do what Paul is asking us to do, is commanding us to do here in these verses, is yours. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of understanding in those moments where I want to live for myself, where I want to serve myself, where I want to put myself first. I have to look to the cross, and I understand that in the cross, I find freedom from my pride. My pride has been killed at the cross. There is victory over the sin of pride at the cross. Why? Because Christ won the victory for me. And so I do not have to pursue pride and selfishness. But there's another half. It's not just that I've been freed from pride. I've been empowered to serve. Christ, as the one who is the ultimate servant who lives in me, through His Spirit has empowered me to serve, so I can turn away from my pride and I can step into service with full faith, knowing that that is best, regardless of what my flesh tells me, regardless of what the world tells me, regardless of what anybody else does. I can, because of Christ in me, do exactly what He's called me to do, turn away from my pride, humble myself, and serve within this body of believers. Think about what this place looks like if we humble ourselves and we serve one another and we strive for unity because of who Christ is and what He has done in us. Think about what your marriage looks like if you humble yourself and you are a servant to your spouse. Think about what your family looks like if y'all decide that we are going to humble ourselves, push our pride away, and as a family, we are going to serve one another. I'm going to put my sister first. I'm going to put my brother first. I'm going to put even my child first, so that Christ is honored and Christ is exemplified, and so that there is unity. It begins here in this body, and then it begins to expand out. What happens if you are the one, not weak, but is humble at the workplace, and you set the example to serve others? That you actually serve your company, that you exemplify Christ in the way that you do your work, by the way that you submit and the way that you serve in honoring Him. See, it's not just a distinctive mark of the body. It should be a distinctive mark of the Christian, because that is not what the world says. The world says if you're going to succeed, then you need to step up the ladder, and if somebody's in your way, just step on them as you move up that ladder. That's not what Christ did. He was already at the top of the ladder. There is no other rung. There's no other place to go. And yet He gave it all up. He let go. He did not see it as something to be grasped. He let it go, and He came to serve you. And you weren't just a coworker. You weren't just a family member. You were a rebel. You were shaking your fist at God, and you were saying, absolutely not. As we come to this table this morning, and as we partake of the bread and of the juice, may it remind us of the humble sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and may it stir within us a humility that causes us to strive for unity in the body, and a humility that causes us to serve others. Let us pray this morning. Father, we are thankful for Your word. We are thankful that whatever it says, we know that it is true. And sometimes the things that we see that are revealed to us are hard. And we know that pride is something that we all struggle with. And so we just pray this morning that as we come to the Lord's table, that there would be no pride in our hearts. That we would understand that Christ's death on the cross leaves no room for pride if we are going to follow Him, if He is going to be Lord of our lives. And so in these very serious moments, as we reflect and remember, think about Your sacrifice, what we have claimed for our salvation. My prayer, O God, is that we would come with clean hands and clean hearts. And that in this time that we would prepare ourselves, thinking about the sacrifice, reflecting upon the death, the blood that was poured out for us, the forgiveness of our sins received because of that sacrifice. And in humble worship, we would come and we would bow ourselves before You, and that You would be pleased and You would be honored.